listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the show tonight. Welcome to Your Ultimate Life. I want you to take just a minute. I want you to do something for me. I want you to imagine for just this next hour with me that this portal is a ticket to your ultimate life. Now, that ticket won't mean anything if you don't know what your ultimate life is. I use that phrase all the time and have now for years and years, and it means something to me. I have books and programs and so forth dedicated to helping each individual, and that includes you, figure out what that life of their dreams is and then to get it. Most of the time, when I talk to people about that, they say, well, I can't have it, or well, the brakes are against me, or well, this happened, that happened. We blame a bunch of other people. And we also think only that ultimate life means just money. Well, if I had all the money in the world, then everything would be solved. Well, neither one of those things are true. And it's easy for me to say that. And it's also easy to prove it. I want you to hear that. It's easy to prove it. I can give you 100 books that go through not only the sort of the meta science, but also the neuroscience of creating your own world. And I want you to think about that. I read a Facebook post the other day. It was about Nelson Mandela. And for those of you that don't know or remember, Nelson Mandela was imprisoned in South Africa for 27 years. And he was imprisoned. It was a political prison. He was a political prisoner. And he was because he was trying or had been active in trying to end apartheid in South Africa. Now, apartheid is where everything was separate, blacks and whites, and there was sort of a racist universe and everything was split. And they were trying to end apartheid. And apartheid is a Dutch word, a South African word. Zuid-Afrikaans is how they pronounce South African language. But it's really a derivative of Dutch. Apartheid means to separate or to be apart. It means about what it sounds like. So he was fighting against that, and they imprisoned him for 27 years. Now, you may know that already. The quote I saw was of Tony Robbins asking him, you know, how he dealt with this terrifying difficulty of being imprisoned for 27 years. And he said something like this. I'm not quoting it exactly. I didn't deal with it. It was a time of preparation. In other words, I was preparing. Now, he didn't have any idea how long that was going to last. In 27 years, that's over a third of your life. I mean, 27 times 3 is 81. So about a third of someone's life, given current life expectancies. So he had a third of his life to prepare in prison as a political prisoner where he was mistreated and all the rest that you might imagine. Then when he got out, he became the president of South Africa. He presided over the dissolution of this apartheid. And you know, an interesting thing that also happened because of this awesome preparation personally that he had done. He was so energetically powerful, so powerful as a leader and as a person, that not too long after he got out, there was a movie probably, Invictus, the movie about the World Rugby Championships that were held in South Africa that year. And he inspired the coach of that team so powerfully that he inspired his team that they actually won the World Championship. I want you to think about that. A small country that had just gone through this staggering political turmoil and had been for decades, violence and everything trying to enforce apartheid and then the end of it. And those who had been profiting from it, of course, were not in favor of that end and all that you can imagine. But the point is the inspiration created by the words that were exchanged between the then president, Mandela, and the coach of that rugby team. And I've forgotten his name. I read it. I looked it up and read the story again after I saw that quote. So I want you to think about, today we're going to talk about your words create your world. Your words create your world. Now, before you flip out and go off the deep end and tell me I'm nuts, and that your world is created by those things around you, I want you to think again about Mandela. He spent 27 years physically in prison, not of his desire. But during that time, instead of being destroyed, raging, furious, and or going nuts, going crazy, or anything else that could have happened, he says he was preparing for the things that happened later. He got out, he was president, he ended the old stuff and moved forward. So that's an example, a powerful example of how your words create your world. So today I have 10 parts, 10 points about this idea of your words creating your word, or excuse me, your words creating your world that I want to talk about. But before I start in that, I want to encourage you to do something. This ultimate life business, call it your dream life, call it the life you imagine, call it whatever you want, call it that thing you don't believe you can have. And I want to assure you that you can. But if you believe you can't, it won't happen. So the first thing we've got to do to share this hour together is just set that belief aside for a minute or for an hour. Set that certainty that you have that you can't do jack and you're stuck and a victim of your circumstance. Just set that aside for just this hour with me here and entertain the possibility. What if it is true that your words create your world? Now, when you hear that, even if you accept the idea that it's true just for a minute, just for our conversation here, it's easy to say, well, then I speak $1 billion into existence. Where is it? Where's Amazon? Give me those gold bars. And when it doesn't happen, you say, see, it doesn't work. Well, I'd like you, and I'm going to give you an example I've used before, which is the orange tree that I grew in the backyard in Phoenix. Now, those of you that know Phoenix temperature, it's hot. It's hot all the time, months out of the year, way over 100. The kind of records they keep track of are the number of days in a row over 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, right now, they're in the midst of another heat spell. And Joy, my beloved angel, who comes on here sometimes with me, she's down there right now. And we lived in Phoenix for many years. And so we have business down there still. And so every 2 or 3 months, she'll go down there to do stuff. And this time she's going in the middle of the, right in the middle of hell. If you're watching the video, you see this orange fiery background that I've got. So she's down there doing this stuff in Phoenix while I'm making this show. Now, I want to ask you something. Whatever you define your ultimate life to be, it's not going to happen immediately. So my example about the orange tree is simple. While we lived in Phoenix, after we'd been there for a few years, we planted an orange tree in the backyard. And it grew. We watered it and we took care of it. And it those kind of trees thrive in hot weather. And so it grew and it grew well. And then it didn't produce any fruit. Now, number one, we waited a whole year and nurtured it and all that stuff and nothing happened. If I had been impatient, I would have ripped it out and thrown it away and said, you know, stupid orange tree didn't work. But as you probably already know, citrus trees don't produce fruit the first year. Usually the second, sometimes the third. So we waited on purpose. And sure enough, the second year for us, it produced a lot of good fruit. And after that, we had all the oranges we could eat. So, but it came through patience. And we're infected with this idea that everything has to happen right now or something's wrong. Well, we don't grow up that way. We don't learn any skill that way. I play the piano and I play it really well. I write music and I write lots of good stuff. And I've got 91 songs up in commercial release. That skill took years and years and years to develop and hone and everything else. So anything worth having takes some time. All right. So let's just say that, set that as background, and then go back to our fantasy world where your words create your world. And we know that's true, at least for this hour together. And we know at the same time that it takes some time for the words to plant, to seed, to grow, and to have the desired effect. So the first point out of 10, I said I want to talk about 10 different things. Number one is your words are your jailer. And I use that phrasing because we just talked about Mandela being in jail, but your words are your jailer. Why is that true? Well, I can make you a solemn promise. If you say to yourself or believe in your heart, I can't do this, I will never make whatever it is. I'll never find the relationship I want. I'll never find the right gal or guy. I'll never make much money. I'll never have the car I want. I'll never have the house I want. I'll never have the freedom I want. If that is your language, either spoken or silent, it will create itself. You're right. You won't. Now, there's all kinds of quips that we've all heard. I think Henry Ford was the one that said, you know, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. I've said before that the biggest determinant for medical healing, even in severe cases of disease, is a person's attitude, their beliefs, their words, their words. So your first invitation right here, right now, is to examine your words to yourself. When you are all alone and you're thinking about, or maybe talking out loud to yourself about your life, about your health, about your relationship or lack thereof, about the money, about things you want to do. When you talk to yourself about that, what do you say? What is the energy of that? If it is negative, you're creating, you're maintaining the status quo of not having what you want. I promise, and it will never change unless you change your language and the energy around your language. Now, you can, you know, disagree and tell me I'm full of crap, but you're never going to know until you try and keep it up for a year. Just like my orange tree. Your words do create your world. And for many of us, your words are your jailer. Now, in my own life, that was so true. I carried around the story for a long time. And here's how I said it. I never get the gig. And I say that because I'm a musician and a gig is like, you know, you go play somewhere. I never get the gig. And I used it for work and for other things too. And it was my certainty that no matter what happened, even if I was the most qualified or best or looked like a slam dunk, I was never going to get the gig. And you know what? Over and over again, that prophecy, that speaking created reality. So in that way, my words were my jailer and they are yours too. So change that. Change your words. Another way your words are your jailer is the tone or manner that you speak to yourself. I don't know about you, but I used to speak to myself in horrible ways. I swore at myself. I yelled at myself. I told myself I sucked, you know, that, and different derivatives of that. Do you do that? If you do that, you're poisoning your own life. Why would we do that? What if you showed compassion? What if you showed kindness? What if you looked yourself in the eyes and said, I love you. You're good for trying, for showing up day after day. It will change what happens for you. That's a promise. All right. The second thing I want to talk about is keeping your word to yourself. Keeping your word to yourself. Now, I'm a coach. You know that. And what is a coach? Well, it's someone who makes a living helping people do things they want to do, just like the Olympics are coming up in a month. And you've got coaches that are helping people there reach their pinnacle and do their best and show up and perform in all the events. And I understand now, I think this is the first Olympics. Breakdancing is now an event. That's going to be interesting. But anyway, coaches are those people, whether it's team sports, or whether it's individual performance, or whether it's music or art or drama or anything else, that are there to be of service, encourage, to watch from the outside, to be the sounding board and the help to create the possibility for the athlete or the artist to be the very best that they can be. Well, I love doing it. That's my work. I'm not an athletic coach. I'm a business and life coach. And that means I help people make the most out of their lives, but not just anybody. It has to be someone who's really striving, like those that are, you know, trying to go to the Olympics. People who are really striving, they're looking for the kind of coaching, the kind of help that a good coach provides. All right. Keeping your word to yourself is this. When I talk to people, brand new people, And it comes around to doing what you say you're going to do. Here's what I hear 90% of the time. Oh, I am really good about keeping my word to other people. When I say I'm going to do something, oh, I do it. I show up. I get it done. There's no question. I bust my ass. I go out of my way to keep my word to others. And they pride themselves in that as if that were the most important thing. It's not. And I'm just letting that sink in for a minute. It's not the most important. The most important word to keep is your word to yourself. If you keep your word to yourself, you will keep your word to others. Shakespeare even said it, "This above all, to thine own self be true." And then he went on and say, if you do that, you can't be false to anyone. To thine own self be true. Now, we've got this twisted view that says, well, as long as I keep my word to others, it doesn't matter if I keep my word to myself, and that's backwards. Because what you teach yourself or me when we do that is that we cannot be trusted. And then in our hearts, we know that we're not trustworthy. Oh, I'll do whatever I need to, you know, do what I say for others. But that doesn't teach us to love ourselves, to respect ourselves, to believe our own pronouncements and goals. You set gigantic roadblocks in your way in accomplishing your own goals when you don't keep your word to yourself. So the first thing is learning to keep your word to yourself. Now, I'm going to give you a tool about how to do that. We often hear the sort of in goal accomplishment things, you know, the Tony Robbinses and Grant Cardones and others that are, go do this. And they say, you know, big, hairy BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals and massive action. And they talk like that. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of phraseology, but it's damaging if you're not already keeping your word to yourself. Because you know what happens when you set a big, hairy goal. Most of the time, not always, most of the time, you don't reach it. You get 2/3, half, 10%, and even 90%. Oh, I got to try again. Here's what happens. The chemistry in your body, you don't have a sense of elation and excitement when you got 90% of the way there. You don't. Neither do I. You have a sense of, oh, almost, whatever. Oh, I got to try again tomorrow. So I have a different approach for you to try. Try it on like a jacket. And that is this. What would happen if you shrunk the goal? Not for your whole life. You're still awesome. You're still going to make $1 trillion and be happy and live in a mansion. That's fine. But for tomorrow, what if you shrunk the goal to one that you knew for sure you could keep? Or if some few things got in the way, it was small enough that you could do them, get them out of the way, and still complete your goal. That is 100 times more powerful than setting big goals and failing. And I will tell you why. We teach ourselves to trust ourselves. We teach ourselves that we can be trusted. So when I start with someone who has, you know, had a lot of attempts and frustration and failures and negativity and stuff like that, the answer is shrink the goals. Let's create a different rhythm, a different vibe in your life. And the vibe is, I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. Now, I can make you a promise. If I said it, I did it becomes the true fabric of your life, you can accomplish anything. So shrink the goals and then accomplish them. It's easy to have a little bit bigger goal tomorrow. And even if you only increase it 1%, in 100 days, it's going to be as big as you need it to be, 100%. So keeping your word to yourself is astoundingly critical. The third thing about your words create your world is learning to tell the truth. I am no longer surprised, but in the beginning years of my coaching practice and in the beginning years of my own healing, those of you that have listened to many episodes know that I had a tumultuous and difficult journey. If you want to read about it, it's in the book Tightrope of Depression that I wrote. But one of the first things I had to learn is that I was a pathological liar. I lied to myself. I lied to others. Oh, in little ways, shade the truth. Don't tell everything. Leave a few parts out. Make it sound something. Blame other people. You know, try to get sympathy. All kinds of sneaky little ways to not quite tell the truth. Now, we do that because we're afraid. We do that because we're afraid of what others are going to think of us. And we do it because we're afraid of what we're going to think of ourselves. Especially if you've got the habits that I used to have, saying negative things to yourself. Negative, angry, frustrating, recriminating, vituperative, whatever word you want to use. Hurtful things to yourself. So telling the truth is scary. When I was growing up, I had a lot of physical punishment, beatings, that today would be felony child abuse, and so telling the truth became dangerous. So I learned to lie and learned to lie really well to protect myself. The problem is I never got over it. Oh, I kept thinking if I just say what I want, and I had a good memory, so I was able to just spin whole alternate worlds and get away with it for years. Now, here's the key. You know you're lying. You know what the truth is. That means two things. One, you have to remember everything, but even if you're perfect at that, even if that is not a problem, you know you're a liar. So what you've done is you've created your world where you, the central character of the drama, you're a liar. Central character, the main event, you're a liar. You tell lies whenever it suits you, whenever it's handy, whenever you think in your projection of what's going to happen, it serves you to lie. Well, if you're going to have your words create your ultimate life, a life of purpose, a life of prosperity, a life of joy, a life of no fear, a life of loving every day and every minute, which is possible because I live that. I went from this horrible place and did years of work, and I won't talk about that today, but where I am now is I tell the truth all the time. All the time. Just tell the truth. That is my automatic thing. Tell the truth to myself. If I'm trying, if I'm being lazy, if I'm procrastinating, I don't pretend anymore. And you know what the benefit of that is I never have to be afraid of what I'm never afraid. I am never afraid. I'm not afraid of what someone else might think. I'm not afraid of what I think. I'm not afraid of what I'm going to call myself because I don't do that anymore. Telling the truth is a powerful change, and using a powerful tool so that your words do create your world. Telling the truth is number three. The fourth one is to create powerful words. Create powerful words. Now, I've talked in other episodes about something I call a PTAC. A personal truth and commitment document. It's not required. It is if you want to create a powerful life, but it isn't for anyone else. It's not to write down a bunch of fabulous sounding stuff about your life so you can impress people. I've had several over the years, many people who tell me, and maybe you've done this too, that they went to a seminar or read a book or heard a talk, where they create a series of affirmations or statements about themselves. Some people that I talk to, they even almost remember them. Others can go find them in a book somewhere. I am a powerful, compassionate, caring, you know, person, man, woman. I am that, and they have these things. Now, here's the problem with that. There's nothing wrong with good words. And there's nothing wrong with crafting powerful things. In fact, number four is create powerful words, creating powerful words. So what am I saying? Well, I'm saying how you create them is really important. Affirmations, in the popular understanding, are often a series of words or sentences that we say to ourselves that we don't really believe. And we hope by saying them over and over and over and over and over again every day, I am this, that will somehow talk ourselves into a new being. We'll talk away the fear. We'll talk away the doubt, the you know, the lies that we've told to ourselves. We'll talk all that away and it'll somehow disappear. Well, it won't work. Flat out, doing it that way, it's like putting lipstick on a pig and pretending it's beautiful. It just doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because it is incongruent. We don't believe that about ourselves. Maybe we're not telling the truth about other things. Maybe we're hiding stuff still. Maybe we regularly have a part, a habit, a behavior of our lives that we leave unaddressed. Maybe we're dishonest about this. Maybe we're cruel in the way we treat someone else. Maybe we're unkind to our partners or our kids or the dog or whoever. If that is the truth of your life, your behavior, your being, then pasting a bunch of affirmation words over the top truly is putting lipstick on a pig. It won't do anything for you. And quickly what happens, and this is interesting because when I talk to someone who tells me about that and pulls out their sheet or even can recite it, I ask a simple question. Does the use of these words really change your life and create power? Well, no. And consequently, guess what? When was the last time you used this? Well, you know, spotty, I did for a while. And then, well, if it really changed your life, you wouldn't quit. You'd never quit. You don't quit breathing because you can't live without it. If this process that you learned absolutely changes your life, then you wouldn't quit. You wouldn't not do it. It is because it feels like another thing I got to do and hope it works. Well, those aren't any fun to do, and they certainly don't form good habits. Creating powerful words is not being afraid to tell the truth. Today, I don't keep my word all the time. I am determined to do that. So one of my declarations is, I am my word. I am my word, and I use that statement, and I elaborate a little. I am my word. I speak only truth. I do what I say. I am who I seem with simplicity, transparency, and integrity. Now, that phrase is in the document that I have for my own guidance. This is just me talking to me or me talking to God about who I am. I wouldn't even pretend to be perfect. So there's a companion sentence that says, I am when I fail or fall in any of my declarations. I get up, fess up, clean it up, and recommit. Now, understanding and having compassion on our own humanity is good. Sweeping stuff under the carpet is poison. So if you have powerful words that you use and you mean them with all your heart, then the minute there's a transgression or a failure in any of those, clean it up. Clean it up. Because the longer you don't, the more powerless you become, and the less your words do create your life, but the life it creates sucks because now you're living in disharmony, disunity, conflict. So using powerful words is good and it's important and will help you if and only if you recognize your humanity and clean it up when you make mistakes. Number five in this list is an idea, and it is, truth carries its own power. Truth carries its own power. I'll give you a little funny example. In our world today, you know somebody like this. I'm going to describe somebody, and I know you know them. If they say to you, if you ask them, will you come to this thing? Will you come help me here? Will you come to this event or whatever? And if they say to you, yes, I will. Oh, yeah, sure. Huh? Yeah, yeah, yeah. When is that again? Okay. In your heart, you know. You actually have no idea whether they're going to come or not. You don't know that. And you know that from history with them, right? In our world today, we have lost the meaning of real commitment. And so what we often mean, or people mean when they say to us, yes, I will, is this. Yeah, I will, if I remember, if I don't get a better offer, if I still feel like it. And if you don't piss me off between now and then, that is a subtext. Because if something happened and I forgot, or I got a better offer, or, you know, there was some conflict between us, and then I don't do whatever it was, it's supposed to just be automatic. Well, duh, this happened. And so, and then the other side of that coin is if someone really wants you to believe that they're going to do something that they really mean at this time, then we'll add all kinds of, I swear on my pinky swear, on my mother's grave, on, you know, I swear to the heavens or whatever it is. We swear, we add all these other words because our regular word don't mean anything. So that's one example of how words have lost power. Now, the other example of truth carrying its own power is in this world of hype, where every other word of every news station is hype and twisted and spun, and every person on the internet is bragging about whatever they do, and we don't believe any of it, and it all feels like hype because most of it is. We have a finely tuned BS meter. I'll bet you right now you have a finely tuned BS meter, and you know right away when someone is stretching, bending, folding, pretending. You know that. You just feel it. You know it because there's some squirmy energy about that. Well, you know what else is true? What else is true is that truth carries power. Because just like you and I know for sure, we have this squirmy feeling and we know when somebody's not telling the truth. We know that. You also know when they are. When someone speaks with authority, it doesn't mean volume. It doesn't mean adding all those extra words, but they speak with authority. You and I both know when truth is being spoken. Now, if there's not a lot of truth in your life, that's going to be a rare event for you. But if what you speak is always true, you will have an automatic discernment to know when others are not speaking truth, and you will feel it. You will know because truth is a thing. It's not just a set of words. Truth is a thing and it carries its own power. Now, there's a whole episode we could do on that, but I'm not going to because there's 10 things I want to cover, and that's number 5. Number 6 is words are your freedom. Words are your freedom. Now, again, in the idea of creating instantly, the minute I say something, it happens. That's not true. But nothing in the universe is created that way. Words are your freedom. So this goes back to what we were talking about earlier about listening to your language. How do you describe your life? Are you focused on hardships? Are you focused on injustice? Are you focused in your conversation, your attention on adversity, betrayal, failure, injustice, misery? If that's where your focus is and you spend much time talking about those things, there goes your energy. Your energy will be in the injustice. It will be in getting retribution or getting justice or getting revenge or, you know, having someone get their comeuppance or whatever. Comeuppance, that's a funny word that I remember when I was in grade school in fifth or fourth, I think. After lunch, the teacher that I had at that time would read us a chapter in a book. And during the year, we read lots of books. And one of the characters was frustrated with another character and said, for some reason, something failed and it went on. So I was in the middle of describing comeuppance, getting your comeuppance. And that was, you know, getting your just desserts. So words can be your jailer. And this is the other side of that. You can use words and should use your words to create your freedom. So instead of focusing on the negative things that aren't happening or that are happening not in your favor, focus, speak, create, use words of power to encourage, to lift, to bless, to do all the things that are possible with those words. Because here's the point. Words actually have power. You know, we've heard things like the pen is mightier than the sword. What if all that stuff is true? What if you have in your own ability to create your future using your words, internal words and external words? So words are your freedom. Now, number seven is related to that, and that is this: using words to create. Okay, and this goes back also and ties into paying attention to the words that you use. I want to talk a little bit about optimism and pessimism, and we both know those, and sometimes people throw a third word in there, realism. Optimism is really simple to define. It's not being silly. It's not ignoring facts. It's none of that. Optimism is looking, people say glass half full, glass half empty. I've got a different way to describe it that I think is more effective. Optimism is simply a choice to look at a difficult situation and say, there's a way to solve this. There's got to be a way to solve this. Pessimism is looking at the very same situation and saying, we're dead. There's no way. Well, you haven't even started, so you actually don't know either one. But here's the interesting things. When you choose to go at something with a there's got to be a way attitude, your brain chemistry changes. Now, that's well studied and documented. There is more creativity. There is more positive neurotransmitters. There is more solution-oriented thinking. Things are more powerful and positive when we look at something and say there's got to be a way. And it's not difficult to understand. If you look at something and you believe there's a way, then you're looking for that way. If you look at something and you say we're screwed, then everything that you think about is jaded and covered with that negativity. So using words to create, and again, when I say words, it's internal dialogue, external dialogue. Okay, I'm going to give you an example of that. During my executive career in the energy industry, I was tasked with writing a piece of legislation. It was a difficult piece, and the time frame was way too short. I gathered some engineers and attorneys that were going to help draft the legislation and gave them the assignment and the timeline. And the first thing out of their mouths was, that's impossible. That can't be done. It should take, you know, a year at least with public consultations and all these different things. Well, I didn't argue with them. Instead, I used words to create. I said, okay, well, I understand that, but let's just get started anyway, because I can't go back to the leadership. This was in Alberta. I can't go back to the premier and say, yeah, forget it. We can't do it. I can't do that. So let's just get started. And when we get to a place where we need more resources or we're really stuck, then we can go see what there is to do. Because if I go and say, we can't do this, the first question that I'm going to get is, why not? And I have to have an answer. I can't just say, because it's hard, because there's not enough time. I'm going to have some specifics. Anyway, the bottom line is, we did it. We wrote this thing. It's still law today. It was put in 2007. And here we are in 2024, 17 years later, it passed. It's in law. It was a big deal. It was not a trivial thing. It was a big piece of legislation. So my point isn't that, except the language created the possibility. And you have that power. You have that power. Now, the next one is what I call speaking and thinking. Speaking and thinking. So I've been talking in a generic sense about words. Your words create your world all the way through. Now, I want to differentiate here between speaking and thinking. And I want to make sure that we include both. Speaking, obviously, is what I'm doing now. I'm saying something and it's going out into the world. It's going out in, you know, this LA Talk radio broadcast and you're listening and everything else. Thinking is the dialogue that goes on inside of our heads. Sometimes that thinking isn't even formulated into words. It's just a feeling that we have. It's almost like subconscious thinking. I want to make clear that in order for your words to create your ultimate life, your world of dreams, everything you want, it has to include all the way down. We have to start paying attention not only to what we say out loud, but what we say inside, what we think before we say it, and then backing up even further, what we feel, those subconscious words. Now, that sounds like a tall order, like there's no way you can't do that. Nobody can do that. Well, that's not true. You're way more capable than you realize, and you, right here, right now, you can do that. And here's how. Okay? It is called notice and choose. The framework that I have is notice and choose. And here's how you start it. There was a time when I wanted to quit saying some stop words. I used to say the word, you know, blah, 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 you know, blah, 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 you know, blah, blah, blah. And I used to say it a lot. And someone pointed that out to me once, and I heard myself doing it, and I thought, that is a massive habit. I'm never going to overcome that. And I did, and I don't say it anymore. And it didn't take very long, and I'll tell you how to make that happen. And this will work with any habit change, especially one with speaking, even the words inside. So you decide, I'm going to notice, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to eliminate that negativity, that negative talk, even the stuff that's subconscious, I'm going to eliminate it. Well, if it's subconscious, how can I do that? I'm not even aware of it. Just listen. So you start with the stuff that comes out of your mouth. So when you say, I did this with swearing too. I used to swear a blue streak a lot. I quit completely. And here's how. You notice, you say, I'm going to quit. And what that does is that heightens your sensitivity so that every time, you know, came out of my mouth, I heard it. Like it seemed loud. It seemed like it was a big blue sign in the air. And that only happened because I said, I'm going to quit. And I was paying attention to it. Oh, and, you know, and then it's like, oh, I back up. And then, you know what happened? There, I hit it. You know what happened? What happened was I started noticing it sooner and sooner. And pretty soon I got to, yeah, and I realized, oh, I was going to finish it. And I didn't. And then it backed up in my mind. And pretty quickly I was like, and then I would say something else. And then it backed up even further before I even thought it. And the point is, just because you're paying attention to it, you notice it. And you start noticing it earlier and earlier. And pretty soon it gets clear back to the subconscious. And then it goes away. So if you want to create your ultimate life with your words, pay attention and speak positive words. Speak words of creation. Speak words of power. Speak words of freedom. End blaming. End negativity. End angry words. All those are poison. And that's just a choice about how we choose to be. So speaking and thinking and even subconscious thinking are part of the process to have your words create your world. And by creating your world, I'm talking about concrete reality, your cash, your happiness, your health, your relationship. Everything is our own creation. So there, that ought to be motivation for all of us for enough. All right, number nine is something we've talked a little bit about before, and that is mastering your self-talk. Mastering your self-talk. Now, I mentioned earlier that I used to use real vile language toward myself. And even if you don't do that, if you are doubtful toward yourself, if you are fearful, if you speak like you would, if you speak to yourself in a way that if a friend heard you, they would be shocked. That's unkind and cruel. Speak to yourself like you speak to the person you love the most. There's a challenge. What would happen right now if you only spoke to yourself the way you spoke or speak right now to the person or persons in your life that you love the most? Your spouse, your kids, your friends, whatever. I challenge you to do that. Make a commitment right now, internally and externally, to only speak in an energetic tone the words, the ideas, the feelings, the emotion, all of that. Speak to yourself inside and out as if you were the most beloved person in the world, even if you make mistakes, even if you do stupid stuff. Kindness, love, forgiveness, those make way better companions than anger, bitterness, blame, recrimination. They get more progress. They create more good stuff. And that includes purpose, prosperity, joy, bank accounts, happiness, all of it. So mastering your self-talk is not trivial. It's a difficult thing to do. But here's something I can promise you. It is worth more than I can describe to you. And I know that not only from my own experience, but clients that I've helped walk through this. Mastering your self-talk bears an infinite reward. You'll feel better toward yourself. You'll accomplish your goals. You'll create more, and you'll have more fun in life every single hour of every single day. And that includes the path up that hill where that dude's walking to your ultimate life, where you have purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, the 10th one is this: loving yourself with words. Now, I talked just about that a little in Mastering Your Self-Talk, but I'm going to wax poetic here for a minute. If I listen to every word and I listen to every thought that came out of your mouth, internally or externally, would I believe you if you told me you cared for yourself or you love yourself? If I heard every nuance, would it be obvious, oh, that person loves themselves? Now, in loving yourself, that doesn't mean self-indulgence. It doesn't mean silly stuff. But if you love someone, you not only look for the good in them, you praise them, you encourage them, you lift them up, you serve them. We do that. Why? Because we love them. We also might make suggestions that we think will make their life happier. That's different than correcting them, yo, dipweed, you need to do it this way. That isn't how we talk when true and deep love is involved. So I challenge you to do this. I challenge you to change your dialogue right now in these 10 ways, ending with, make it so obvious that if I listen to every thought that you had about yourself, your actions, your performance, your attitude, that it would be so obvious, so clear that you love yourself in a good, healthy, appropriate, lifting, blessing way. Now, that's going to be a challenge for some of you. You're going to think I'm crazy, but it bears fruit and dividends more than I can possibly describe. So there are the 10 things about your words create your world. Your words can be your jailer, learning to keep your word to yourself, tell the truth, creating powerful words, remembering that truth carries its own power. Words can be your freedom, just like your jailer, using words to create. Speaking and thinking are both included. Mastering your self-talk. And making it clear and obvious that you truly love yourself with your words. Now, I can make you a promise right here, right now. If you do that, your life will change. And if you do it dramatically and completely, your life will change dramatically. I invite you to go to this URL, www.yourultimatelife.ca, because there is stuff there that will change your life. It will create joy, happiness, purpose, and prosperity for you. I invite you to connect with me. I love meeting people. My commitment this year is with my words and actions to help 250 million people to discover the truth of who they really are, divine, capable, with infinite possibility. And that includes this whole thing about intentionally creating your world with words and creating it beautifully and powerfully and joyfully. I challenge you to do that. Don't just brush this off and say, yeah, that's a nice rah-rah talk. So we're coming to the end of our hour together. And I want to ask you, before you pick up that old disbelief about your words create your world, yeah, I got to go deal with the bank and I got to pay these bills and I got to have a stupid boss and my spouse, this and that. before you go back and just take that old grumpy blanket and put it back over your life and ignore everything I said, I invite you to take two or three things, not 20, two or three things from our brief conversation today. Try them. Try them for a month. Listening, noticing, choosing, loving, using powerful words to build instead of damaging words to tear down. As a coach, this work, lifting people, encouraging them, helping them see new and powerful ways, that's all I do. I love it. It's joyful and it's powerful. I would love to get to know you. And I also can assure you, without hesitation or question, you have the ability to use your words to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.